Sky Sports Radio. We'll have a chat later on with Lance Justice. He's done an amazing effort, Lance, with a pacer called Love and a Chevy, who almost died from snakebite not long ago. And Lance Justice, what he did was above and beyond the call of duty to get that horse back just to live. And it looks like he's got him back in the sulky. It's a great story. But we all have favourites in racing, and one we love to see is the Cleaner. He's back in action, the Cleaner. He trialled at Cranbourne the other day, and he bolted in. And racing manager for the Galagotis team, Manny Galagotis, joins me. Morning, Manny. How are you?
Morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. You must have a bit of a smile on your face. The Cleaner, Steve Arnold, he trotted in by six.
Yeah, look, he was very, very impressive yesterday. It was really great to see him at this point in time trial in the manner that he did, because he had a little jump out 2 weeks ago and he was okay, and that was his sort of first test. But yesterday was sort of a more serious trial, and it was very pleasing to see the horse let down nicely.
Where do you go to from here? Is the PB Lawrence, which he ran second in first up last year, I think, is that the target again this year in August?
Yeah, definitely. He's going to follow a similar path to last season. The program just looks ideal. Taking a cautious view that obviously we'll just be aware as we go along. But his first two races are concrete, and he'll definitely kick off in the PB Lawrence. And we're very sort of focused on the Dardo Tanchin and Stakes, which is a race that he's made his own over the last 2 years. And Mooney Valley's obviously his track, and looking forward to getting in there in good order, hopefully.
Now, Manny, given he's had this trial at Cranbourne the other day, I'd imagine you'll probably slip another one into him before he races?
Yeah, definitely. Peter's got him earmarked to trial early August, and that'll be his final hit out. He'll have a little tune-up the Tuesday before the PB Lawrence for Saturday at Caulfield, and, yeah, he'll be ready to go. Hopefully all fingers and toes crossed, and everything looks really well at this stage, and that's the program that Pete's got in store for him.
Now, have you had to poke along pretty quietly with him?
Yeah, Sean, the horse hasn't been out of work since he's arrived from Tasmania early in the year, and when I say that, in terms of the little issue he had that was detected when the horse arrived here, we've had to rehabilitate a little lesion that he had in his ligament, and that what's entailed there is a lot of hand walking, treadmill walking, and just reconditioning the fibres in the leg, and then we've slowly introduced different pressures, incline work and swimming and all the rest of it throughout the whole journey. And thankfully, we've got the facility to cater for those sort of horses to keep them interested. And I must say, he's been an amazing horse to work with, and he's responded very, very well.
Manny, which leg was the injury on?
He's offside front.
Yeah.
And pretty much, it wasn't serious, but just enough, obviously, for the horse. He ran a really sort of below par run in Tasmania in the summer, and it raised some alarm bells, and it wasn't until the horse arrived that we actually found what the problem was in Victoria. So our vet Peter Angus went over him and detected the issue quite quick, and that allowed us to be able to start the rehab and give us plenty of time to target the spring with him, which is what's occurred. So it's really great.
You put a few months worth of work into him, haven't you, to get to this point?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, we've had a bit of practice. We've inherited and had some horses that have had worse sort of injuries than what he's had. And we've always been very mindful, obviously, of the horse's age and all the rest of it. So there were some strict criteria. The most important thing is to rehab the horse to full soundness, and that was the priority from the owner's perspective and ours. And whatever happened after that was always going to be a bonus. So he had to show us that he wanted to be a racehorse, and he had to sort of show the good signs for us to continue. And thankfully, all those signs are there. And after yesterday, Stevie Arnold really gave us a glowing report on his action and also his demeanour and the way he felt. And certainly, we ticked all the boxes in terms of where the horse is heading, and we couldn't have been happier with what we were told and what we saw yesterday. It was really good.
I was just about to say that the best test for the Cleaner would be when you let S. Arnold on board, because he knows him so well.
Yeah, and funny enough, yesterday he actually made some really key comments to us. Things like he's had a tendency to lay out a little bit in his races and when he's been under sort of more pressure. And he couldn't fold his action yesterday on the synthetic track. And he said he railed like a greyhound and didn't even move off the rail. And that was really pleasing to hear that. And, from our perspective where we sit, that just gives us a lot of confidence moving forward that we've sort of done a good job with him, and we all know how good the horse is, so it's just a matter of making sure that he's sound. And when he is sound, we all know what he can do. He's a devastating horse when he's on the top of his game.
Man, it's interesting. You trialled him on the synthetic. For a horse like that, he's had an issue that you've had to monitor and really work hard on. Were you conscious of which tracks you worked or galloped him on, i.e. synthetic compared with something out of the grass where it might have the sting right out of it?
Yeah, most definitely. The horse has raced on synthetic before in Tasmania, and the profile of the synthetic track at Cranbourne has changed a little bit, and it seems a lot more forgiving than what it used to be in the past. So, yeah, look, but the other side of it was that we really wanted to get an accurate guide on his action. Can't hide these horses anymore when you think you've got them 100% right, and I think it was really critical to see where the horse was at. We're at the pointy end of the arrangement now in terms of the program. We've got full confidence in what we've done with the horse, and it's a massive relief to see the way that he's come out of that trial and the way that he went. So, yeah, look, all those things are very relevant. We've got a beautiful surface at Maui, a brand-new track. It's got plenty of give, so he's really relishing that. And as we all know, he profiles very well on those Strathair surfaces. So, yeah, we've been very cautious where we work him. But now we're sort of... now that he's back to full soundness, you've got a lot more confidence to work the horses just normal, which is really great.
Yeah, you got a few nice little horses in the camp there coming into the spring, man. You've got the Cleaner, you've got Mourinho, and you picked up Malaguera.
Yeah, it's it's been working very hard. Peter's certainly, his last 4 or 5 years in particular, we've really sort of elevated the stable to really good levels, and we've really had some nice horses in the past and currently. So, I see that as a testament to the job we're doing. And I've mentioned plenty of times, I think that the training landscape has really changed, and I think Darren Weir's led the charge there. He's a tremendous trainer, horseman, and he's based out of Ballarat. So I think the mindset of people have changed immensely in terms of, the city stables, and most city stables have got country setups as well. So I think it plays a big role in the environment that horses are in, and thankfully we've got a beautiful facility that offers all that. So, it's nice to sort of get these horses now. It's a testament to the hard work Peter's doing, and we're really appreciative.
Well, Manny, appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with the Cleaner. I said he's a bit like the Vaux Rogue, the modern day. Everyone loves him. People love a horse that gets out in front and says, righto, have a crack at me.
Yeah, look, he is. And, all those horses that we've sort of had in the past that have been in that calibre, horses like obviously Mourinho of Astan, have been the two that have sort of really taken us to a different level. Now that you've worked with those sort of horses, getting these other horses into our stable now, it makes it a bit more calmer, and you sort of can make more relative decisions because you've had good horses before. So looking forward to all those horses coming to the stable, and we're looking forward to the spring, Sean, for sure.
Good on you, Manny. Appreciate your time, mate. Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Manny Galagotis there, the racing manager for the Peter Galagotis stable, and the Cleaner back in action. We all love him, and let's hope all goes well and he stays sound and gets through the spring okay. A bit of a scare with the horse passing away in the last 24 hours, and there was a bit of a whisper of the word tender virus. Chief Steward Mark Van Gessel joins me. Morning, Mark.
Yeah, well, Sean, how are you?
Good, thank you. We had a little bit of a scare during the week with a horse passing away at Randwick. There were the words hender virus mentioned, which is always a worry, but it's the all clear's been given by the looks of it.
Yeah, well, it certainly makes you shudder, Sean, when you hear those words, but fortunately, yesterday afternoon we got the all clear from the DPI, and I guess for us the frightening thing was that the horse was exhibiting some signs, but particularly having an elevated temperature, but the DPI results came back yesterday afternoon and all clear.
Mark, the Hendra virus, we don't really hear of it, I mean, fortunately, that much these days around New South Wales, do we?
No, we don't, and probably more so at Randwick, where we have the fig trees, and we're always very cognizant of that at Randwick and conducting biosecurity audits, making sure that our horses aren't feeding off the ground around trees and things like that to ensure that we minimise the risk as much as possible. But this wasn't the case. It was a horse that was based in a stable, and it was just because of the temperature aspect that we were just being cautious.
The Hendra virus, that's to do with the bats, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It obviously originates from up in Queensland, and the bats obviously have a big influence at Centennial Park just across the road from Randwick. So that's the reason why we're always keeping on top of the biosecurity aspects at Randwick Racecourse.
It's amazing the things that can bob up. I remember a couple of years ago hearing New Zealand where they had issues where there were lots of pigeons around and they were landing on the feed bins and they were dropping their dung all around the bin and the horses would be eating some of that. They were getting crook as well. You just never know where the next little hurdle is going to come from.
No, you don't. And it, you know, it's exactly the same thing with the bats. You know, they're droppings and horses eat the droppings from the ground and that's how the virus spreads. But fortunately, we're all cleared.
Well, right now, another interesting aspect over the weekend was the introduction, albeit very brief at this stage, of Ride Guide through a corporate bookmaker, the idea of a Melbourne jockey, Chris Symons. He's a good bloke, Chris. He's very innovative. What were they actually looking at doing with it, Mark?
Oh, look, we're supportive of the idea. It's, the riders are selling their rights to the their information to a company called Unscripted, who are going to put the... those comments onto a website, but they've just entered into an arrangement with Ladbrokes, which we're a little uncomfortable about. So we're just in the process early this week where we'll speak with Chris Symons and Unscripted to ascertain whether we can find some middle ground in respect to that content being displayed. But now being displayed on a wagering operator's website is certainly not ideal for us.
With this, is it the jockey saying, this is how I anticipate the race will be run and how I'll be riding my horse?
Yeah, look, as I said, we've been involved in discussions with Chris Symons before the information was displayed for the first time on the weekend. But it's more so just the riders, you know, giving their views in respect to how the horse will perform, how it ran at its last start. And, you know, they need to be mindful that they need to, you know, concur with their connections before they provide any advice in respect to, you know, how the horse is going to be ridden. So more so it's their views on the race itself and, you know, how the horse may run at its last start and how it might measure up a... Yeah, on the race going forward.
I suppose one hiccup with this is if it's pre-recorded, which I imagine it would have to be done, by the time race time comes around, weather and track conditions can alter and a trainer can say, hey, we're going to make a change here, the track's downgrade or whatever, and all that information becomes irrelevant.
Well, it becomes irrelevant and could also become confusing, Sean. So, you know, the need for up-to-date information, as you know, this game, things are changing by the minute, not by the hour, so... yeah, the riders need to be cognizant of that when they're giving their assessments.
Do you find in general you don't have many issues, Mark, with trainers and jocks, you know, giving their opinions on radio and television?
No, look, generally, particularly the riders, and they're quite skilled in making sure that they, you know, give a view that's quite general, and that's, you know, the aim of it, I guess, is to provide feedback as to how the horse ran last night, if they rode the horse, and, you know, I guess they need to be mindful to ensure that they involve the connections and ensure that they ride their horses to the way the connections want the horse ridden.
Now, I'll be ringing jockeys this morning for their thoughts on rides, and they're getting the same fee as you, which is absolutely zero. Is there an issue with them being paid?
Look, the rules do prohibit a rider obtaining a pecuniary from providing information in respect to a horse unless they have the permission of the connections or the racing authority. So that's certainly one of the issues that we need to discuss going forward to ensure that there's no breach of the rules.
All right, so we look forward to this stage. Do you think Ride Guide will perhaps go ahead?
Oh, look, we're hopeful that you know, the idea won't be finished altogether, but we just need to ensure that, you know, the integrity of the process is not compromised, and particularly by just displaying it on one wagering operator's website.
All right, terrific, Mark. As always, appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Van Gestel, Chief Steward, joining us there. Now it is 9:30 at Sky Sports Radio. As I mentioned, big day of racing today. At Cessnock, Chris Lees is heading off there. He's had a pretty big day today and yesterday. Chris, he's had a couple of nice horses just have very soft trials yesterday at Wyong, and I thought we'd update and drive him out and give him a call. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sean.
That's good. You sent La Romaine around yesterday in the sixth trial and just had a nice, easy trial by the looks of it.
Yeah, he's been off the scene for a while, so it's good to see him back at the trials. And he'll have another trial in a fortnight before he resumes racing.
All right. Lucia Valentina looked to have just the easiest of trials. He went around an 8:45, which is much too short for it, and he just said he'd basically just have a nice run.
Yeah. Again, she was kept on the bridle. Pretty... painless day out, and she appears to have come through it well. She'll probably trial on a little bit more serious in a fortnight again before heading back to the races.
All right, I suppose, Chris, when you send a mare like her around in such a short trial, is always a concern they want to get a bit keen?
Oh, I just wanted you like to see her just that little bit keen, that she's still got that bit of zest for racing. But she looked in good order, basically just getting a grass gallop into her in some ways with the wet weather we've had around. So I was pleased to see her get around in one piece.
It's a bit hard at the moment, isn't it, with the tracks the way they've been so wet, I suppose, trying to find that good surface.
Yeah, I suppose we're all in the same boat. You know, it's, tracks are wearing at the moment. And anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah. Now, today you've got a nice selection going around at Cessnock. You've got a little Shocker going around, and he won a trial nicely the other day.
Yeah, she's freshened up nicely. She raced okay last preparation, so number of first starters in the race, so it's hard to get a line on them, but off her form last time in, just with natural improvement, like, I think she would go close here.
Chris, in the sixth, you got a horse, Star Reflection, nice filly by Time Thief, and this looks like it shows a bit of promise.
Well, she's improving each outing, so it's always a good sign. Steps up to 1550. She's given every indication she'll run it out. She should get a nice enough run from a gate. Again, she's got a good chance in a pretty open type of race.
All right, race nine. We've got now, is this pronounced Godot or Godot?
I think she's a model. I don't know Godot or Godot herself, Sean, but I change it around each time. But
I thought you'd be the one to tell me. Yeah, I had no idea.
Me either. But well, fast mare, 11.50, she probably doesn't want any further, but with a soft draw on the claim, she'll certainly get a chance. I think she'll look the winner at some stage.
All right, next time I ask, we'll just both cough when we get to the last part of the word.
That's right.
We'll bluff our way there. And in race 10 as well, you've got Micucci going around. And this one nicely, the other, at Tuncurry, and prior to that, at Port.
She's not running, Sean.
No, I pulled out, sorry.
Yeah, she is.
Okay. Of your best today, which would be?
Look, all three of them have got some hope. I thought Star Reflection won well the other day, and she's shown enough improvement to suggest she could go on with things.
All right, terrific, and walked away from Wyong with smiles yesterday. I suppose that's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Good time here.
Terrific. Appreciate your time, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Cheers.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Lee's joining us there. It's Sky Sports Radio. One of the nicest stories of the year in any of the codes is the story of Love and a Chevy. The horse got bitten by a snake. He almost died. He went to hell and back. And so did his trainer, Lance Justice, with barely any sleep at all. And what he did for that horse went above and beyond the call of duty, and I think Lance will correct me if I'm wrong. I think he might have Love and a Chevy back in the sulky. He's with me now. Morning, Lance.
Morning, Sean.
You got him back in the sulky?
Yeah, no, he's back. He's had a couple of little fast runs and very well, very, very coordinated and looks good. Got a really good attitude and, yeah, I think he's just glad to be back.
I tell you what, that must have been one of the greatest thrills you have when you put the gear on him for the first time.
Yeah, it was pretty big. I tend to not to realise how I went out to the track with him and went around. I thought I probably should have videoed this or got someone to take a picture on their phone. And it wasn't until we put him in the second or third day later that I took a little bit of a snippet of film and put it on Facebook and got a huge response. And look, he's a horse that I just didn't realise that there's so many people asking and wondering when he's going to be racing. And he's been through a hell of a lot. And I think he appreciates it. And I think he's going to be okay.
You know what? I reckon animals, it's funny. It's like when I've got a rescue dog. He's the second one in a row. They know when they've been given a second chance, I reckon.
Yeah, well, this bloke here, before he got bitten by the snake, he was a nice horse, but he wasn't a horse that was really in your face and a loving sort of horse. But now he's a horse that'll come up and put his face in your face and actually rest his head on your shoulder and that sort of thing. He's sort of like he has an ultimate trust in you, which is something that he didn't have before, which is pretty good.
For people who aren't aware, he got bitten, I think, on the lip or the mouth by a snake, didn't he?
On the gum, yeah. He was at the adjustment farm and they rang up and said that he wasn't well. So I took the truck up to get him and got him, and he was not in a very good way. And we got him home and got the vet to him, and they found that he'd been bitten by a snake on the gum. And the next 2 to 3 weeks, he was absolutely comatose just about. We had to roll him over and pick him up with a tractor and stuff to make him stand up. And then for the next, I think, 6 weeks, he couldn't get up on his own. And, it's been over 5 months now, and he's now got some shape and all good.
Now, let's not underestimate what you and your staff did, but, I mean, you even were blowing up airbeds and things and putting them under him. And sand, everything you could to make sure that horse was comfortable.
Well, yeah, well, that's right. What happened was he was having convulsions, and the convulsions were making him, when he was passed out on the ground. He was galloping and he was knocking himself around, so we had to bandage all his legs, put an air mattress under him so that he didn't rubble his skin off. But we still couldn't stop it. He actually had ended up with big holes in his hip and shoulder and face where he'd thrashed on the, got off the air mattress and thrashed on the ground. But we did everything we could to keep him off the ground and make sure that he was comfortable. And things that you just wouldn't believe a horse would do. We'd put the air mattress flat underneath him and roll him onto it and then get the electric pump and blow it up, and he wouldn't even flinch. And, you know they're sick when you can sort of step over and they just don't move.
Yeah. When did the penny sort of drop, Lance, with him? I mean, you got him to the point where he was up and about and slowly poking around, and he looked like he'd been in World War III, the photos I saw of him. When did the penny drop that you thought, gee whiz, I think he's now really turned the corner?
Because he's been here all the time, and we don't actually notice it because you're working with him, but when someone comes into the place and says, oh, Chevy looks fantastic, then you realise that how he did look, when you go back and look at the photos, you think, well, we sort of don't notice it because he looks like any other horse. He's just good looking, he's got good shape, good colour. But until someone that hasn't seen him for a month or a few weeks sees him, then you realise how much he must have improved. And you can actually go back and look at the pictures. But yeah, look, it's been great, and the staff have been fantastic. They did look after him, and Diane especially, she had to pull the scabs off his wounds and treat him every day and wash him. And he probably doesn't like her as much as he likes me, because I think he associates her with pain.
Are you an emotional bloke?
I'm not really an emotional person, but when I walked out that day and the next morning after he'd been bitten and we expected him to be okay or to be improving, and he was on the floor on the ground, and the vet just said, look, we better put him down. And I had to say to the vet, I said, I picked his head up off the ground. I said, look, this side, he's got a happy eye and he wants to live. This side, he's going to die. I said, oh, he's got brightness in his eye and he wants to live, we'll give him a chance. And that's how we went on. When you first walked up to the side that had been damaged the most from him being down overnight, it didn't look very good.
When do you think you're getting back to the races?
We really haven't put a rush on it. Colin Croft, who owned the really good horse Sokioli years ago, he is really, really keen to get back to the races, because Colin's an old gentleman and he hasn't flown for I think 3 or 4 years, and he said that when Chevy gets back to the races, he is going to fly to Victoria and watch him race first up. He lives in South Australia.
Now I'm tipping, you reckon you're not an emotional bloke, the night you get him back to the races, I'm tipping you're going to sook it up a bit that night, Lance, come on.
I think we'll all be pretty pleased to have him back, and I probably will be a little bit emotional with him, but I really, really want him to be. I really want him to go out and do a really good job. And look, when he got bitten, we had no thoughts of racing again. It was just save his life and find him somewhere to live out his life. But the racing side, if he comes back to racing, that's a bonus. It just seems like he's going to get back there, and it's something we just didn't think was going to happen.
Well, if he gets back to the races, it's an absolutely beautiful story. And what you and your staff have done for him is just, as I said, above and beyond the call of duty, because that horse, at times you look and think, how's he ever going to live? But the dedication you showed, you went without sleep for days on end almost.
Yeah, well, we had to, we were catching like 2 or 3 hours a night in between, because the fact that he was so full of fluid, we had to turn him over every 2 hours. Otherwise, they stay down, horses, their lungs fill up with fluid and when they're sick. And yeah, so we turned him every 2 hours overnight, and it just seemed like everything was against us, because while all this was happening, it was January 30, summer, and the second night we get the biggest storms and rain, so we've had to make up temporary tents, a temporary tarp put over the top of him so he could keep him dry. But that was okay, we kept him dry, but there wasn't enough room to while you're working with him to keep dry yourself. So even though it was summer, you were wringing wet, and nothing worse than being cold and wet and tired.
I reckon. Hey, it looks like it's all going to be worthwhile, which is absolutely fantastic. It is a brilliant story. And regardless of whether he makes it back to the track, you've given the horse life. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, we give him a chance. And that's all I think that you can do is just give him a chance and he'll do the rest. And look, in this day and age, we need good news stories. And he's a good news story.
He is terrific. Good on you, Lance. Good luck. We'll keep in touch when he gets closer to the track.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Lance. Lance Justice there. It's just a fantastic yarn, that, the way he's looked after that horse to get him back. And said getting him back to the races isn't really his priority, but the horse he wants to race, there's almost a movie in that one. Bryce Hayes is about to join me now. He's got a pretty handy horse at the moment too, a horse called Speeth, who's been going around south of the border doing the Mexican thing. Morning, Bryce. How are you?
Top of the morning, Cozzy, to you and your listeners.
Mate, you've picked up a nice horse here in Speeth. You must be wrapped with him.
Yeah, he's a progressive sort with nice upside and a bit of ability. Had to give him a bit of time and just be very patient with him early doors. But, look, we hope it pays dividends over the sort of coming 12 months.
Now, where to with him next? Because he stepped up to the bar every time.
Yeah, he has. And, look, we just snuck him down to Flemington there just to give him a little peekaboo up the straight. And give him that experience just to see how he would handle that and handle sort of travelling down on a hit-and-run mission, which he obviously performed reasonably well and overcame a few obstacles in the run on race day to sort of be able to win. So, look, that's a positive. He's just having a little freshen up now and he'll be back in work at the end of the month.
Is there a target in sight or are you just playing it by ear with him?
We've got long range targets with him, but he still needs a bit of grounding and probably realistically a race at Randwick on the 15th of October, the Lightning Stakes. The Lightning, which is a listed 1100 metre race, is probably the logical step for him, I would suggest.
How far do you reckon he'll get distance wise? He's gone down the straight at Flemington and won well.
Yeah, he has. We're in no rush to sort of try him past 1,200 at the moment. We just think he's effective. I think he's better on top of the ground. You know, it's hard enough to get a fast horse as it is, let alone one that's got such a really good turn of foot, and that hopefully will be the making of him to be able to sort of progress through the grades. So I think using that to his advantage is effective over a shorter course, hence why at the moment we're sort of focused on making him a really classy 1200 metre sprint horse.
It's interesting, your thoughts, Bryce, because sometimes people get a horse who's pretty quick like that and they think, gee, we'll stretch him out to 1400, he might even get into a mile and you finish up with nothing.
Yeah, and it's easy to do, and just, you know, understanding the tempo of races, you know, whether it be 1100 or 1200, it's completely different. And then once you get to 1400 and a mile, obviously, you know, probably just the tempo changes its complexity throughout the run, and you know, it certainly can nullify a horse like him. But you know, in the short term, there's no great need to try and stretch him right out. But we'll just see what, you know, what the future brings, and especially how he comes back this time. I think you know, judgment on the horse in terms of how far he'll go will be his performance this time in, you know, whether he would be a horse that keeps progressing, you know, further up the charts to group races, or whether he stagnates. But he'll need to improve, because it's going to get tougher for him.
Now, I've done a bit of form on you, and the mail is, when your careers advisor found out you wanted to be a racehorse trainer, the careers advisor nearly fell off the chair laughing.
Certainly choked on his cornflakes, that's for sure, Buzzy.
What was the reaction? I want to train racehorses.
Yeah, look, I've always had a, you know, a deep passion for thoroughbreds and was brought up around them and racehorses. And, look, I was just before a teenager, I was really fortunate that I got offered a scholarship to a school back home in New Zealand, which my mother made me take up. And, you know, sort of when you're on a scholarship at a school and you request to go and train racehorses and want to leave school early, it doesn't sort of go down that well, you know?
No, they wouldn't have been all that keen on that. Now, from what I've gathered here, you want to have a crack at everything. Rugby league, rugby union, the one day you had a go at that, and I think even rowing.
No, well, what happened is I'm from a rugby league town back home in New Zealand, a small town called Huntly, and it's a rugby league town, a very strong rugby league town in the Waikato, in the North Waikato, and I always played league, and when I went to St. Paul's Collegiate, I had to play union, so I had to swap, and I wasn't allowed to go back playing league, so it was just a natural progression that's what I went to the school for, to play union, so I had to go and play union. And fortunate enough to play, you know, when you go to those bigger schools like that, you get a bit of exposure to, you know, played with some really good players and played in some good teams. And part of that, when you go to those schools like that, an extracurricular activity was rowing. And at the time, an ex-Olympian called Ian Wright was the rowing director. And, you know, he's someone that sort of, you know, shaped a lot of us. Guys that ended up rowing, and we sort of made a deal that he would get us fit for the rugby season if we came and rowed for him. And as it turned out, he sort of he moulded us into a really good eight, and we had some great experiences in rowing. So it's not, you know, we didn't sort of pursue that and think we were champion at everything, Cozzy. It was just part of life and part of what we had to partake in our extracurricular activities at school.
We'll be able to hire you out when people want to swim horses. Here, hook onto the back of Bryce's boat.
I can assure you, and people that know me, I carry far too much excess condition now to even warrant a performance like sport like that. That's for sure.
Sitting a bit low on the water.
Yes, most certainly.
Mate, good to catch up this morning. Good luck with speed. It's nice to see you got a good horse, and he looks like he's going to be an absolute ripper for you.
Yeah, we won't get ahead of ourselves, but look, we wouldn't swap him for anything. So good luck. Hope everyone finds a winner.
Good on you. Thanks, Bryce. Good to catch up.